They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
The childcare crisis in America just got some relief. I'm David Brancaccio. Good morning to you. In the latest government funding bill just approved by Congress and the White House, there is a $1 billion increase for programs focused on child care and early childhood learning. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams has our story.
This new funding includes an additional $275 million for the Head Start program and $725 million more for the Child Care and Development Block Grant. That's roughly a 30% increase in the funds, which states choose how to spend.
One way that states might choose to use this increased funding is to increase subsidy eligibility thresholds.
Susan Gale Perry is CEO of the nonprofit Child Care Aware of America.
Which means that more families would have access to help paying for childcare. It may also be used for things like improving the rates that states pay for childcare providers so that they can attract and retain qualified staff and increase the quality of their programs.
The increase brings the program totals to about $21 billion. Childcare advocates say that reflects bipartisan support for early childhood education. Julie Cashin is a senior fellow at the Century Foundation.
We got this $1 billion increase that's going to help the programs that exist, but we need so much more.
Cashin says these new funds show Congress's growing awareness of the lack of affordable childcare in the U.S. But
right now, we need $16 billion in emergency childcare funding to make sure that the childcare sector can be stable on an ongoing basis.
Because even with this boost in funding, existing programs are only serving a fraction of eligible families, says Sarah Rittling, who runs the First 5 Years Fund, a D.C.-based children's advocacy group. For example, through those child care and development block grants to states,
14% of eligible families are served with the $8+ billion that we have.
And when it comes to Head Start, which provides support for low-income children and their families,
we're serving roughly 36% of eligible families and 11% of eligible families in early Head Start. So we have our work cut out for us.
Still, advocates say this increase in funding is a win, especially given the extremely contentious process and tight budgets that led to the final appropriations agreement. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
It is cheaper to rent a place to live than to own one in the 50 largest metro areas. This, according to Realtor.com, rental costs are down for 7 months straight, down just 0.4% in a year to a typical $1,700 a month rent versus more than $2,700 a month for the median starter home. Broadly, there are not enough houses and apartments in America to meet demand, and that plus higher interest rates to fight inflation. Quite a ride for former President Donald Trump's stock that launched on the NASDAQ market yesterday. Early on, Trump Media and Technology Group Corporation soared 59%. Then in the last hour of trading yesterday, a drop toward earth, ending the day at $57.99, a gain of 16% on the day. The initial public offering initially valued the company at $10 billion. But what is really under the hood in that company? I spoke to Jay Ritter, a professor of finance at the University of Florida. Welcome.
Good morning.
Would an analyst see $10 billion of actual value?
If you look at the company as a result of this SPAC merger, it's got about $300 million of cash. But will it be highly profitable in the future that could justify such a high valuation? Very unlikely. The company only has annual revenue of about $5 million. It's losing money. And in terms of where does it get that revenue? Well, it's a combination of advertising and paying subscribers, but neither of those sources of revenue is growing very rapidly. So this valuation is just crazy.
So it may not be an investment in the traditional sense of investment. It may be more like putting a Trump for President placard out in front of your house, a sign of support for a candidate, maybe?
My guess is that almost everybody buying the stock are Trump supporters, where it's more a purchase out of showing loyalty rather than thinking about this as a good long-term investment.
Now, as the majority shareholder, former President Trump's net worth on paper right now has increased significantly given the stock price and that company's valuation. This is a potential windfall for Mr. Trump in the billions of dollars, but my understanding is company rules are he can't sell right now and cash out. Could the company change that rule?
As a standard with these SPAC mergers, shareholders are locked up typically for 6 months, as is the case here. His lockup prohibits selling, but also using the stock as collateral for a loan. Now, the board of directors, in theory, could waive this 6-month lockup, but if they did so, the stock price would probably immediately drop. So the ability to convert this paper wealth into cash is pretty limited.
Well, it'll be interesting to watch progress for this stock for the next few days. Jay Ritter, a professor of finance at the University of Florida, thank you very much for helping us with this.
You're welcome.
He mentions the acronym SPAC. That's a special purpose acquisition company, a strategy to raise capital to buy an existing company, in this case, Trump's Truth Social. Careful when you check ticker symbol DJT on many systems. Instead of the Donald J. Trump stock, you get the Dow Jones Transportation Average instead. I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.